Today on the AF Podcast, where do we go from here? Huh? Where do we go from here? Tell me. Seriously, where do we go from here? We are now witnessing the full power of the super team era. There's a Golden State Warriors. There's a Cleveland Cavaliers. And then there's everybody else. Here's what we'll do. We'll share our last thoughts on the 2017 NBA Finals. We'll break down where the Cavs and the Warriors go from here. If there's any team equipped to catch either of them. Should we finally embrace the super team era? Plus more. This podcast was originally done on Friday, June 16th, before Danny Ainge decided to trade the number one overall pick to go back a little further in the draft, which most likely takes him out of drafting Markelle Fultz. But screw Danny, we're going to keep that shit in regardless. Anyways, to listen to more podcast shows, please subscribe right here to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio. Seeing that the Golden State Warriors are the newly crowned NBA champions, we should probably start off the show with a little Bay Area funk. Let's do it.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
Today on the AF Podcast, we're shooting the shit NBA style. And I'd like to welcome back to the show my guest of the NBA Western Conference preview, as well as the brother and the E to San Jose star Joel Ward. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Julian, aka Jules the Commish, back on the show. What's going on, brother?
Everything's good. Appreciate you having me back on. It's about time. Yes, you know, man. I like to be on, but I appreciate it.
So Subban didn't get the ring, huh?
No, man. A lot of us were wishing for him to get it, but it came close, a lot closer than, you know, again, a lot of us thought he would even get with Nashville. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. They came really close. And on top of that too, I missed Game Six, but that I saw that they disallowed a goal that should have went in, and that kind of changed the trajectory of the game. It sucks, man. The fact that they lost with like less than what 2 minutes left.
Yeah, that goal on a bad goal too. Not a bad goal, but like a goal that should not have went in.
No.
But I missed the game too. But I heard the goalie for Pittsburgh, Murray, he played outstanding. Mm-hmm. He had to have, you know, back to back shutouts the game before, and you know, so anyhow, they made it far. Maybe they can you know, grow on this and next year come back. But one thing about the NHL, unlike the NBA, parity is much more parity, so it's highly unlikely that they make it back to the finals.
Especially for them in the conference that they're in. You still got San Jose, you still got the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
that Edmonton
exactly.
Now coming through, so yeah.
Yep, so anything could happen in the NHL.
It's definitely going to be tough, but I mean, hats off to Subban and them, man. I really wanted them to stick it to the Canadians really badly, so. I know those GMs in Montreal were breathing a sigh of relief.
definitely. Man, it would have been great for the media. It would have been great for him. It would have been great for the fans of Montreal. Well, man, that would have been amazing. Anyhow.
For sure. What are you going to do? So let me get your thoughts, man. What were your thoughts on the NBA Finals overall?
Oh, man. You know what? It's hard to say. It all depends. On pure entertainment, I was mildly impressed. Like, you know, I was looking for it. Like, to be honest, before the series even started, I had predicted Golden State in five.
Yeah.
So I had predicted that. So in terms of, like, games, in terms of number of games, I wasn't, like, expecting a battle to game seven or anything like that. But for each individual game, I was actually, outside of game one, I was entertained. I was. And apparently the TV ratings, I think everybody wanted to see it. I think it was like maybe, I don't know, it wasn't the highest, but the highest since 98 TV ratings they got for it, which I was kind of surprised. But all in all, you know what? I'm personally am not looking forward to seeing an what is it, Cleveland and Golden State finals for the next 3 years. I'm not looking forward to it.
No.
This year, you know what? I don't mind because I really didn't know what would happen each game or how close it would be. But I'm not looking forward to seeing this every year. It sucks as a fan.
Yeah, I'd agree to that. I think that this year's finals, I mean, the last podcast, myself and my guest that I had on, we both predicted, I think we both predicted it'll be in five. I honestly wouldn't have been surprised if they actually got swept. And you know that Cleveland was gonna take, most likely was gonna take a game, which happened. And but for the most part, I mean, the first half of game one was really entertaining, I thought, even though the guys were missing a lot of shots. The energy level and the intensity was just so high, like that very first game. But after that, I think it didn't. I don't think it, the overall, I don't think it really matched up to that first half of game one after that. It was pretty much more or less blowouts. Game three was good. Golden State obviously came back. I mean, it was pretty predictable, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. But I wouldn't go to, that wasn't really it. The game ended in blowouts, but throughout the game, so there were back and forth a few times, and at least within 10 points, and that's all you really want, you know, if you're a fan of the NBA or of any of those teams, to stay within striking distance and whatnot. And you cannot complain about the scoring. Shoot, it's like 120 points a game. So as a fan, as an entertainment, like you're seeing threes and transition buckets and
dunks
just
and yeah.
dunks, and so you're being entertained, I guess, if you want to say, for the in-game experience. But like in terms of the overall predictability, you know, it is what it was, and it wasn't exciting at all. But you can't ask for anything more. Maybe a few more games or of Cleveland to win. But again, I'm not looking forward to seeing this in the next year, and the next year, and the next year after. Not at all. And I think Golden State will be in a, if they are able to stay intact, they're going to be in the finals every year.
Yeah.
For the next 5 years, at minimum.
Minimum, yeah. At least as long as everybody's healthy and they can, as you said, keep everybody on the contract. I think the biggest thing for me that I was kind of surprised at was, honestly, I didn't realize Rihanna was that big of a fan of LeBron James. I really didn't know that, man. Holy smokes.
I don't get it, man.
It was a little weird, to be honest with you.
It was stronger than like bro love or your boys from growing up from, you know, high school. It was, and it was like obvious, like obvious that she wasn't hiding back, which is whatever, which it is what it is. But like, it just seemed like, you know what, like they got a closer connection than maybe we know of. But I don't really care though.
No, I don't really either. Yeah, but it honestly, I looked at it and I'm like, man, are they more than fans here? Like that's. That's, you know,
Yeah, to be
not to be
to be that
gossipy.
supportive.
Yeah, to be that supportive. I'm like, it's a little weird, you know, to be honest with you. But hey, you know, to each his own, I guess, right? But
It's only weird because we don't know of the relationship. We don't know how close they were prior to.
yeah,
Like,
that's
we
true.
know they
That's
were
true.
friends, but we didn't know it was like that. If we knew it was like that prior to, you know, via social media or whatever, then it would have been like, yeah, whatever. You know, they're just cool like that. But when you don't know anything and then you see it, or you don't know it as much and you see that, you're like, whoa, all right, okay, all right, King, all right, LeBron, all right, Rihanna.
Well, you know what? Let me get into some of these questions here that I got on the table here.
Yep.
So with Cleveland losing to Golden State in five games, looking ahead, what do you think the Cavs should do? Like, do you think that they should sign Jesus as their next free agent? And it's a twofold question. And if and would Jesus take less than the max money to play with Kyrie in the backcourt?
Man, okay, so first question, they need to sign Jesus. There is nobody that's available that they can sign right now. Well, I shouldn't say that. But it's even it would be close, even if they sign like a Blake Griffin or anything like that, they still don't have anybody to really match up with KD and Klay and whatnot. So it's a matchup issue too. So, but would anybody of like, I don't know who's available, like is it Blake, Chris Paul, like would any of those guys take less money to go? We had this debate in one of my chat groups, and I don't see it happening, only because like a lot of these like free agents, depending on what stage of the career that they're in. And if they're even if they're in the late stages, guys are going, and if you're an all-star, let me make that, sorry, superstar, whatever, all-star, late stages in your career, you're not taking anything like significantly less. And because you want to capitalize as many years as you can, get a max deal and whatnot. But now if you're like an aging star, maybe like, I don't know, a Dwayne Wade, you know, maybe I could see him taking a 1-year deal and taking, you know, taking a hit. Taking less money. But mind you, he did that before in Miami. I don't know if he wanted to do that again. Yeah, yeah. But I can see players doing that, depending on their status in terms of what type of level they are, all-star level or whatnot. Because we saw David West do it. He took a huge hit.
My God.
And, but he, right? But he wasn't, you know, he's not a star anymore. He's not an all-star anymore. So he can, he, at this point, he's willing to get a ring. He made enough money in his career, right? But if you're a superstar like Chris Paul, there's no way. There's no way. He's like Chris Paul's like in his early 30s, 32 or whatever. There's no way he's taking significant less money unless he took a 1-year deal, which is could be possible. A 1-year deal to go to Cleveland, like him and Carmelo. Oh, I don't know.
I think the only person really in play, I guess, if he decides to opt out of his contract, is Dwayne Wade. But then you're taking an enormous pay cut again. To play with LeBron James, where you already won championships, so it's not like you have to ring chase. You've already solidified yourself as a champion 3 times over, and your spot in the Hall of Fame is more or less solidified too. So at this point, like, are you just like, you know what I mean? Are you just doing this to kind of just help LeBron get another title in Cleveland at this point? Because I mean, for him to go there and play, he's probably gonna go from what $23.5 million to like $4 or $5 million. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I know these guys are millionaires, like multi-millionaires, but are you taking that pay cut?
No.
Especially when you already won? No. No way.
So he won't do it. And on top of that, if he does do it, it's not even a guarantee that they're going to win.
Exactly. Exactly.
So why even take that risk of losing that amount of money at this stage in your career where you may have maybe 2 more years left in you? Why take that risk and to lose to KD and then Golden State? It's not worth it. So honestly, no, I don't see anybody. Like, I'm trying to see who's a free agent. Like there's nobody out there really. Anyhow, that they can sign.
Yeah, they can afford, exactly. Because that's the thing. They're pretty capped out. They got, you know, I mean, LeBron James is not a free agent until 2018. Kyrie signed all the way through for another at least 2 years. Kevin Love is signed to, I think, 2021. You know, J.R. Smith is signed for a while. So is Tristan Thompson. They're pretty maxed out. Shumpert's got like a 4-year deal. I think he just signed last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty maxed out as it is. Unless they start like really offloading like the Deron Williams and the Kyle Korvers and those type of guys and stuff. But I think for them, and this is tough for them, but I think they got to get a little younger, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they want to try to match Golden State, especially long term, they gotta start to look to get younger. Like getting vets and stuff is cool, but like you see the way Golden State's constructed, that's not gonna help.
No, not at all. I think that's the path that they have to take, and that they may have to do some trades.
Yeah,
they may have to trade a Love now, to New York for Carmelo or whatnot. Make Carmelo play the 4. I don't know. You know, it's all about three ball, small ball, guys that can put the ball on the floor and transition and whatnot. And maybe they have to go that route too.
You know what? And speaking of which, here's my next question. Do you think this Paul George for Kevin Love trade suggested is complete nonsense like I do? Or do you think they need to pull the trigger on this trade?
So when you say they, you're talking about Cleveland?
I'm just talking to media like suggesting that they got to trade Kevin Love for Paul George.
Well, if you're Cleveland, you would do that trade in a heartbeat, I think. If you're a Cleveland fan, if you're a Cleveland GM, you do that trade in a heartbeat. Why wouldn't you? Paul George is younger. He can put the ball on the floor. He can score. He's everything that you need. And it's probably a better matchup with Golden State. Yeah, but it would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
It would never happen. Like, if I'm – well, I'm sure there's going to be more pieces involved, right?
Right.
But, like, what can you really get with one of Cleveland's picks if you make that deal? You probably get, like, the last pick in the – you know, the second to last pick in the draft. So if you're Indiana, I wouldn't do that. I would trade him – if Paul George has 1 more year left, right?
Right.
Like, if that's the case, I'll trade him to, like, where Lakers were. That rumor is where, you know, he's from L.A., I think. So, trade him to Lakers, who you know you're going to get a first-round pick. You can get a pick in this year's draft and future potential lottery picks. It will never happen where he will go to Cleveland without, there's no way. Cleveland doesn't have the assets outside of, like, Love. You know, they have assets, like, you know, like Kyrie and all them, but they're not trading Kyrie or whatever. So, no, it's not happening. Not a chance. Not a chance. Only way Paul George and LeBron play together as if it's only if they both go to another team, like what they did in Miami where Bosh and all and met up with Wade and LeBron. I think that's not happening on Cleveland. No way.
No, I don't think so either. But honestly, I'll say this. I think that it's he may be a better player than Kevin Love at this stage of their careers, and you know, but that's fine. But honestly, the way that the team plays, to me, who's going to be the one sacrificing? Is it going to be Paul George or is it going to be Kyrie? Because you know it's not going to be LeBron. Like, as much as the small ball era is in and guys share the ball, the offense rolls through LeBron still. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I'll say this, Golden State, they move the ball better than the Cavaliers. Now, you don't necessarily feel like anyone is taking a bigger sacrifice than the other. Like, even everybody tries to say Klay Thompson, but Klay Thompson still pretty much got his shots. He may not have gotten them in places where he might have liked it a lot of the time, like some of the times during the season, but he did get his opportunities. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't really the way they play, it's so free flowing. I don't think they necessarily care who gets like the bulk of the scoring load. You know what I mean?
But you know who did kind of sacrifice his scoring? Draymond Green.
Yeah, a little
Draymond,
bit.
Draymond was, like, in terms of points per game production, it dropped.
Yeah.
Mind you, he does so much.
So much, exactly.
His defense, he rebounds, assists. Like, you know, he's a walking triple-double almost every game. But his triple-doubles would be, like, 10 points, 10 assists, you know, and, like, 14 rebounds. Saying the points was only – it would only hit, like, 10, 12. It was rare you saw him with a 30-point game or anything, 25-plus point game. Very rare. So if anybody did take a sacrifice in points, it's Draymond. But he does so much other stuff that it's okay, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's fine. Because, I mean, even earlier this year, he was like a point away from basically getting a triple-double, right? Meaning that he missed it just because he got 9 points or 8 points. Right. So
exactly.
But he's okay with that. And that's fine because that's what makes him special for as like the fourth star of the team. Because
and that's why it works.
It works.
That's why it works. Golden State works.
Exactly. It's not just four scorers. You know what I mean? So the way they share the ball, it's you can get away with that. But I think in Cleveland, like when you're playing on a LeBron led super team, somebody's taking a hit. Like in Miami, it was Bosh who had to sacrifice the most. And on Cleveland, it's Kevin Love. So unless you're going to kind of rework the offense a little bit where the ball is getting distributed evenly between at least those three guys, who's sacrificing? So to me, I don't see that working. If I'm Paul George, I don't want to spend my year playing second or third fiddle to LeBron at Cleveland. You know,
especially in your prime.
In your prime when the following season, you're trying to get all the max money that you get. So I wouldn't do that if I was him. And I agree with you. Like if the intention is to go back home to play with the Lakers, unless you're looking to really re-sign with the Pacers, then I would have my agent just shut this down and say I'm not playing in Cleveland. You know, like if I'm gonna leave a Midwest market, I'm not leaving for another one.
And exactly. And then, you know, to be honest, you're not even sure, you're not even guaranteed that LeBron is going to remain in Cleveland on top of that.
Exactly. I mean, it's really just for a season because, I mean, after next year, he's a free agent, so he can leave himself. But, to me, it doesn't make sense. And then on top of that, swapping out Kevin Love for Paul George, again, doesn't guarantee that they'll be Golden State.
Exactly, 100%. You know what
I
mean? That's the thing.
I don't think it necessarily makes. It's funny. Like even though he's a better player, I don't know if it necessarily makes them a better team. If that makes sense.
No. It's all about chemistry and how things work. It might look good on paper, right? But as you said, like when you got like three scorers and you don't have that balance of somebody. Well, LeBron can distribute the ball. Kyrie is not really your prototypical point guard in my eyes. He's more of a scoring point guard, shooting guard, if anything. So incredible, you don't get that kind of. Oh my goodness! Yeah, you don't want to change that. You don't want to make him be a passing first point guard. But having it look good on paper and playing it together putting it together on the floor is two different things. So no, I wouldn't do that. Like if I'm Paul George, anyhow.
And now moving to this. into this super team conversation here a little bit. How fast did you dismiss LeBron's comments about never playing on the super team?
Man, you know what? When I heard that, I was kind of bothered because it's almost like he was sulking. And like actually, to be honest, he's taking the loss like a champ, like a true champion. You know, he's making fun of Draymond with the Quicken T-shirt and whatnot. So I'm cool with that. But when he said that he never played on a super team, I didn't like that because to me, he started the super teams, just like what Draymond said in that post, or not post, at the parade or that they had. He started it. Now, mind you, it was not as great as a team as Golden State, and mind you, it was the way that they formed the team was different. But he Wade in his prime, oh my
I
goodness,
know, I
Bosh,
know, I
what are
know.
you talking about? And you know, and so to me, and LeBron, so those three, that's a super team.
Of course.
Now, the problem, maybe he defines super team differently than I do, which he probably does, but I don't. I think it's a super team. Now, the only thing that is different is how KD joined an already good team. Now, and Golden State did draft their players,
Right.
whereas Miami traded for their players, right? Outside of Wade, right?
Right.
So maybe they came together differently, but in terms of to say that was he never played for a super team. That's wrong. I disagree.
Well, it's funny. So shout out to almost all the people, I would say, that I had arguments with in the last 2 weeks with this, the KD, everybody being mad at Kevin Durant, but not mad at LeBron for creating the super team, this whole argument. Like, I think it's nonsense. I'm like, both of them, if you're gonna knock one, how can you knock one without knocking the other? You know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah,
Exactly.
if you want to rip Kevin Durant, I'm cool with that. If Because, I didn't like the move either, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, you're going to rip one. How do you not rip LeBron? And everybody's like,
100%.
oh, the Miami thing was different. No, it wasn't different. Again, I think we even spoke about this. It's he took the path of least resistance. You know what I mean? When he created the Super Team of Miami. And he did the same thing again and when he came back to Cleveland. Like I said in the last podcast, the only difference was no, I think he was expecting to run off the decade, not expecting Golden State to
Exactly.
pop out of nowhere. Because think about it, before 2015, they lost in the first round of the Clippers, and they went from losing to the first round of the Clippers to being one of the best teams in NBA history in a span of one summer, without any major free agent pickups or anything like that. It just, you know what I'm saying? So like,
Yeah,
so nobody expected that to happen. So to say like, yo, like, Golden State was always a super team. No, because 3 years ago, I mean, it's basically the same squad. It's the
Exactly.
same squad. So how could you even determine that? The thing I thought that was, well, number one, I'm actually happy that Draymond called him out for that, because that I think LeBron is a smart guy. I definitely respect him in the world of business and stuff and what he's doing and how he approaches some of his moves as a player and as a businessman. But I thought that was one of the more dumb, like one of the most dumb comments he's ever made. I thought it was really stupid, and I think he's a lot
Unless
smarter than
he said
that.
it right after the game, I don't know, you
Yeah, I
know,
think
because
he
your
did.
emotions are
And
still high. If it was post game, like come off the
yeah,
out
and
of the
I
locker room,
and I
then you
think
know what,
and I and
maybe I can.
no, I agree with you, and I think he did. I think he definitely did.
Okay, there you
But
go.
so I think he did say that right after the press conference. But it's funny. Like, I was thinking about this. Like, what a great place to be in as an athlete or somebody that's on a public figure, because when you're at that point, Julian, where you can just say anything and people can just more or less defend you. You know what I mean? Like, you might have your detractors, but you're gonna have a legion of people that still defend you. Like, it's to me, when he made that comment, I wasn't so much disgusted with him making the comment as I was knowing that in the next 2 days, you're gonna have all these people sitting there saying, "Yeah, you're right. He never did play for a super team." Like, that to me was probably I had a more disgusted feeling with that, because people were gonna come and defend this, like defend at least defend his comments. And I'm like, man, what a great place to be in as an athlete. You can just say, it's almost like you're trolling. It's almost like an experiment where he's just saying that, and afterwards he's kind of looking over his shoulder with a smirk on his face, you know, just seeing the trail that
But
he left behind him.
LeBron does have his haters though. Like he has his core haters or enemies and trollers out there too. Like they have memes of him and whatnot. But yeah, you know, the loyalists or fans of Cleveland or fans of him, that's what the fans do. They stick by their players. But with LeBron, you can say pretty much anything, and you're gonna have some people supporting it or going against him, almost 50-50. But I do hear you, though. He definitely has more from the people that I talked to. I had, to be honest, there was a few people that we know that was supporting his comments that he never played for a super team. But remember, when he joined Miami, he even went off saying that they're winning not one, not two, not three. So how is that not a super team? And whenever a superstar, that, like, there's different tiers of all-stars. Now, when Boston did it, the big three, those guys were all-stars, like Pierce and Rondo, but they weren't, like, super. They weren't, like, superstars like KD and LeBron. Right. So to me, in my eyes, when you're, you know, a superstar-level player and you're joining forces with other tier one all-stars, it's a super team, if you want to define it. It's a super team. You're a super all-star, if that's the way you're going to look at it. Well, that's the way that I define it. Now, if you're a bunch of middle, like Lowry, Jones, DeRozan, and flicking, I don't know, Millsap, you know, they're all stars.
And Paul George.
Super. They're not super all stars. That's not a super team. A super team is like KD joining Curry. I agree. But you're a super team, too, when you join Wade. Wade in his prime was probably one of the best, could have been arguably top three in the NBA at that time.
I think he was arguably top three player at that time. Who was better than, honestly, the only person that was better than Wade at that period was probably LeBron and Kobe.
Basically, 100%. And that's a super team.
Of course.
So don't say you never played on a super team. It's almost a slap to their faces. That's Bosh and Wade, to be honest, or to his team.
Yeah, well, that too. It's an insult to them too, because Kyrie, coming back to Cleveland, Kyrie was, you know, he wasn't a top five player, but you can see the superstar potential dripping off him because he was playing with a lottery team. And then and then Kevin Love was what is he, throwing up like 26 and 15 every night?
Even though
he was playing for a lottery team too. But still, like, again, he was at worst a top 10, top 15 player at worst.
You know what I mean? I think you're absolutely right. So they're both like stars, like, you know, beyond like tier one stars, like at this point too. I think the argument, I think a lot of people are getting confused, is how they form these teams. And I think that's where people are getting confused and defining super team. They didn't form the team the same way. That's why it's not a super team.
Yeah.
That's not my definition of super teams or how you form the team. To me, it's the players on the team that you are playing with.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And to me, it's like, I agree with you with the whole Boston thing, because when those guys joined up, think about it. All three of those guys missed the playoffs. Before they joined together in Boston, Garnett didn't make the playoffs that year, neither did Ray Allen, neither did Paul Pierce. So how could you say they're all superstars, number one? And then number two, I think when Garnett was, when he joined Boston, what was he, in his 13th, 14th season?
Around that time.
Like Ray Allen was like in his 11th season. You know, the only one that was probably still at least as close to his prime as possible was probably Paul Pierce, if you want to see out of the three. But and even with that said, he was probably one of the best forwards in the game, but you wouldn't say he was a top five player, you know? So to me, I'm like, that was different. That definitely was different. And their window, you could see it, like after 3 years, it pretty much shut at that point. So it's, you know,
right. To prove your point. I see your point.
It pretty much shut down at that point. So the whole
thing. And also to mention, not to cut you off, the Golden State team now is better than the Miami team, the big three. So maybe he's looking at that too. He's looking, you know what? You're a super team because you're better than your team consists of better players than my team in Miami. Right. Right. True, but you're still a super team.
Still a super
team. You don't have to be the same level. It doesn't mean, or it's the best team ever assembled. And you're still in that category. You're still in that tier of super. If you want to define it as super teams, you played on a super team.
Like I said,
it's not as good of a super team.
No, and like I said again, path of least resistance, man. So it's like I look at it, it's like you're calling KD soft, but it's like one move to me is like as soft as a marshmallow. Next one is soft as like a feather from a pillow. They're both soft.
That's exactly my point.
They're both soft. So it's like KD took it to another level, but there was the origin. I call LeBron the player pioneer of team stacking. You know what I mean? So that to me, that's what he is. And that's how he's going to be defined as part of his legacy. He's going to be defined as that guy that started this trend.
And you know why? Because back in the day, the superstar rarely left their team, right?
Right, right.
And I'm not saying all-star. I remember super, like the tier one all superstar all-star player. Rarely left their team. They were That's where that, like, you know, franchise player came from. Like, you're the franchise. You stayed on the franchise. You build a franchise. But then, not including Jordan to Washington. But, like, LeBron pretty much started off in this era where the superstar just left.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? He started it, man.
Yeah, he made it. He made it okay. He made it okay for guys to do that. And don't bring up Jordan or the Wizards again. Just don't do that. Please.
Yeah, I was trying to think off the top of my head quickly. Has there been another superstar to lead the team? I'm sure there were.
Yeah,
thinking about it. Like,
through trades, because, I mean, the one that comes to my mind right now is Barkley leaving Phoenix. I mean, sorry, Barkley leaving the Sixers to go to Phoenix. But that was through a trade.
I meant free agency, just leaving.
Yeah,
you know?
You don't. Well, Shaq. Shaq probably going to the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, like, there are examples, but very.
But even when Shaq went to LA, you didn't think that was a super team. He left to be on a really good team. He didn't leave
to Kobe.
Nobody knew Kobe was going to be, you know, he was a prodigy, but we didn't, you know, Kobe didn't come out like averaging 25 a game in high school, you know, like coming out of high school. It took time.
And there weren't like four superstars, like, you know, or three superstars on the team off the top of my head without thinking.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, I'm like, I look at it. I said again, it's a great place to be in when you can say things like that, and people are just gonna, you're gonna have a legion of people defending you. It's amazing. Mm-hmm, I think it's awesome. You almost want to give him respect for saying it. Just the fact that he can get away with it. It's amazing.
I think when you lose too, you can get away with little things like that. Like, you know, you lost 4-1. So, You know, people are going to give you that kind of sympathy or kind of, you know, feel bad for you and might agree with you more than the team that won.
Yeah, exactly. Should the people who are mad at the super era finally move on and embrace this new era for what it is?
Man, that's hard. You know why it's hard? Because if you're a fan, like, you know, I'm a Raptor fan. If you're a fan of a team and you know you have no chance of winning for the next 10 years, it's hard to embrace this era because you don't have that super team. You're basically, as a fan, watching your young guys grow and develop, and that's the biggest thing for you. Because it doesn't matter. You can make the playoffs. You can even make past first round, and get to the second round. But you don't even know who, if you're going to be facing a super team in the second round or first round, depending on your bracket or whatnot. So you're watching the entire season knowing that there's a chance, depending where the teams fall in the 1-8 seeds, that you might face a super team in the second round. So what the heck am I watching the regular season for? So as a fan, it's hard to embrace it. It's hard because, you know, there isn't a chance of you getting past these super teams without, you know, having, you know, players on your team to actually, like, super all-stars. So it's hard. I can accept it. Going to embrace it, if that makes any sense.
No, makes total sense. Like, I'm like, kind of like you. I don't want to sound like the old man saying, you know, hey, kids, get off my lawn. But you know what, Julian? I actually don't want these kids on my lawn. I work hard to manicure my land of ignorance. You know what I mean? So for me, I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with the kids yelling at the kids to scream off my lawn for this one. And it's funny because that new ESPN 30 for 30 with the Lakers and the Celtics, I don't know if you had a chance to catch it.
I heard about it. No, I haven't seen it yet.
It was good. It was really good. It was very nostalgic for me because, I mean, that's where my love of basketball started. You know, I had two older brothers that, you know, kind of like got me into basketball, but that was also one of the main reasons, the Lakers and Celtics series, and I was a big Lakers fan. And, you know, those teams were great, but it honestly screams of such a different time that we're just in. You know what I mean? And I know that the Cavs and Warriors won't ever be that. There's not going to be that level of hate. It's not going to be that level of like racial divide. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The high level Hall of Fame worthy type of players, yes, but it's a different era. Like, those guys, you can see to this day, these guys still kind of needle at each other. You know what I mean? Even though they're over it now and stuff. Well, some of them are over it, but it was like with the Cavs and the Warriors, it's like, it's not quite the same, you know, like Draymond Green's boys with LeBron, KD and LeBron are boys. So it's like, it's a rivalry. They're going to play hard against each other, but it's not that, it didn't feel like life and death. You know what I mean? So I guess that's the way I'm looking at it. So
that's one way to look at it. Like, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, it's going to happen year in, year out. And if you don't see that, you don't see that history between the two teams. Well, they may have a history now, but you never know. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, you never know. Maybe two more years of them battling one another, it might get to that point.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? But at this point, again, from a fan, it just seems meaningless. Like, and I know some, you know, some people may say, well, you know, you're a franchise, build, you know, attract free agency. It doesn't work that way.
It's hard. Sometimes.
If you're a small market, I don't care what anybody says. Big time players are not going to play. Like, nobody, like, no big time, I'm not going to say no big time player, but very few would want to come to Milwaukee or even Toronto or whatnot. Very few. So it's hard to build those super teams. So they can say, I think Silver might have said it, you know what, stop whining to the smaller franchises.
Yeah, which I didn't like that either.
You know, like, let's be realistic here now. You can't build the same way as big market teams can. So what are you going to do? So, you know, I can accept it because that's just the way. I have no choice but to accept it. But to embrace it as a fan, I can't do that, man. It actually sucks. And again, and I don't want to even see the next 3 years final, 3 years of more of Golden State and Cleveland in the finals. I don't even want, next year I'm going to watch, but like the first game. But then I'm like, I won't have the same anticipation.
No,
as watching it this year.
Well, Julian, you're talking to a guy who didn't even watch the conference finals.
Yeah, it was that bad. Yeah, it was that bad.
I'm like,
yeah.
What was the point? Like, why? Like, you know what I mean? It's like reading like a book you read like 400 times, and like, why would I read it for the 401st time? It's okay. Like, I'm good. I know how the story is gonna play out.
Right. You know? So, and Golden State lost one game.
Yeah.
Cleveland lost, you know, one game going into the finals. Yeah. It's like we know what's happening, and as a fan, you kind of hope, you know, you have faith in your team. They can pull a couple game, or there's an injury that happened for the other team, but it's like you're planning for next year,
yeah,
for the year after. So I don't know. I don't know if this is great for the NBA. I don't know. I know it's not good for the NBA. I don't care what he says, Adam Silver. This can't be good. It cannot be good if teams keep. It's the same teams and. These big market players are going to these big market teams and they're forming, and they're like four or five set of teams only going to the finals or conference finals. It can't be that way. But I do, yeah, I don't know.
And you know what's funny, just thinking of this now? Everybody focuses on saying, well, you know what? They had the super teams in the 80s and stuff, as I just mentioned with the Celtics and all that, mm-hmm. and then the Bulls and all that stuff, and they had super teams, and super teams are great for the NBA. I think in the past, that might have been the case. But I think in this era now with social media and the distractions and different things that you can do with yourself and like even watching a game, half the time, do most people even watch a full game anymore without looking on their phone?
Probably not, really, not. Right? Definitely
so,
not.
So, no. if a game is predictable or a series or something is predictable, there's so much more distractions out there that I think that would hurt. The mm-hmm. like the pockets of like the owners and the commissioner and everything else going into the league. It's not going to hurt it to the extent where like it's going to cave in the league. It's not, but mm-hmm. but you can't tell me that this is going to be good going forward. Especially again, I'm just thinking of this now with just all the social media distractions and everything else. To say, you know what, man, maybe I'll pop on a movie on my phone instead and take off the NBA, you know, League Pass app and just go watch a movie. To me, because like I said, the conference finals. Julian, I was making it a point to watch every like movie and show that I missed out on the last few months during those games. I had zero interest in watching any of that stuff, and I don't regret it either. What did I miss? Tell me, what did I miss? I missed nothing, right?
Mm-mm. So nothing at all.
Which teams are the best set up to take these super teams down within the next 2 years, if any?
Oh man!
It will, you know, I'm gonna make you choose at least one if you have to choose.
I guess San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I guess if I have to choose one, you know, Leonard. Well, they have no point guard next year. But you know what? And yeah, it's got to be San Antonio. It's probably the best, only team right now for sure. There's no teams in the East. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Right now, not even Boston, not the Toronto Raptors. I'm not that dumb, but it's got to be San Antonio or. It depends on where Griffin and Chris Paul go to in free agency, I would, you know. But right now it's San Antonio. But even then, San Antonio, I don't even think so. But like, right, if I had to choose one, it's San Antonio because Leonard is unbelievable, and he can make other players around him better and whatnot. So that's the only team I could think of. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I got a couple. I'm gonna touch on one team a little further, a little bit. I'll touch on them a little bit later. But I think Boston could be one, possibly, depending on what they do this offseason, and I'll get into that a little bit later. In the next 2 years, I'm not saying this for this year in the East, maybe in 2019, depending on if they can, depending on if they can get another quality start or go with what they have there already, maybe Milwaukee.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
But I said no, but yes, I hear you loud and clear, and I wouldn't argue that.
Like,
if you're talking about years down the line, then
yeah,
yes.
I'm saying in 2 years, not next year, but I'm saying in 2 years that if you know Thonmaker develops, we know Greek Freak is developing. If they can keep Jabari Parker and he's healthy, if they can add one more guy to that, possibly, I think they can be in place. Philly's probably another one, but I think with all their injuries, they're I think a little too far away.
A little too far away.
Real impact, because I mean, Embiid was a happy success, but again, he only played 31 games. So,
and he's injury prone in his early young career. That is not a good sign.
As a big man with, you know, when you have feet issues that early,
100%. So, but yeah, I like Milwaukee, but again, it's a small market team. You know, like if you want to build, they're gonna have to do it through the draft or. It's going to be hard to attract like a CP3 type player to go there, right? So that's why I hesitated to save the Bucks. But you know, Giannis, he's amazing, man. Like he's going to be like top five, maybe even by next year.
Yeah, I would say probably by next year.
You know, he's developing every year and but whatnot. But then to be a super team, you got to have at least another two more All Stars to beat Golden State. Minimum, you got to have three minimum on this team.
But you know what, Julian? If it was just strictly about winning, right? Not about branding and all the other stuff and places where you want to live. If it was just about winning, and I heard somebody say this, and I don't even know which podcast I heard of this, but you know, everybody keeps talking about CP3 going to the Spurs, and you know, the Spurs are going to make a real push at CP3, which is the smart thing to do, like you know, because they got to get somebody to replace Tony Parker. But if you're Chris Paul, if this is strictly about winning, wouldn't you think about Milwaukee?
No, only because even with him being on the team, they're not winning. Beating. Like if it's about winning, right? You're still not going to outwin Cleveland or Golden State, right? That's like you're still not going to. I'm not even saying beat them. That you're not going to have more wins than those teams. So you're going to be winning, and you're going to be. I would say in the Eastern Conference, for sure, top three, you know, third seed or higher. But again, the grand scheme of things of why you're playing is not just about winning, but it's about also winning in the playoffs, right? So if I'm him, like if it's just about winning, yeah, that's, you know, I still wouldn't be going there. Not just yet.
And I guess I mean that in the sense of you're going there with the expectation of knowing that you're not going to win this year. Or sorry, this upcoming season, but in 2 years with those guys developing, you know, like I think you can stretch out your prime in terms of opening the window for contending.
But those risks you don't really want to take at 32 plus years old.
Yeah,
those are the risks you don't want to take. You know, it's you can take it, and it could work out, but you just don't know. You know how things are in the NBA. Things happen, man. Like things change, and players leave from one team to another. You know, injuries, players don't develop what they're supposed to, or how they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So you just can't take that risk at 32.
Yeah, that's
like, do you want to go on a winning team that is now, like for the next 2 years, minimum guaranteed?
Yeah. And again, like I said, it's strictly hypothetical. If it's strictly just about winning, that's the way I'm looking at it. Next question. If the Raptors don't have a shot of signing Jesus to compete with Cleveland, should they settle for Peter, Paul, or another one of the disciples?
If you're saying like should the Raptors spend money on players and go to the cap on other players just to win in the regular season, I say that's a tough one. That's tough. 'Cause what are you playing for? To finish first in the Atlantic and be knocked in the second round? That's tough. No, you know what? I would you want to continue to win because you want to build that culture. And we have that culture now, I think, that's been established in the last couple of years with Lowry and DeRozan and going to the conference finals and, you know, having really played well in the regular seasons in the last 3-4 years or 3 years at least. You want to remain that culture. So I would just spend a little bit, like I'll re-sign guys, maybe Ibaka, and maybe let Lowry walk. I wouldn't go over the tax. Like, I wouldn't start paying taxes, like going over the cap for these for Lowry and Ibaka. I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But I'll spend some money just to maintain the culture of winning.
Yeah.
If that answers your question.
Yeah. I mean, I think Peter and Paul are kind of nice, though. But but you know what? I mean, we've, you know, on this podcast, we've touched on this Raptors point many a times. You know, I'm like, it's tough to keep Kyle Lowry at a $200 million price point. It's mm-hmm. it's really hard to commit to that, especially when you see, not necessarily because he's a big reason why the culture is what it is. It's necessarily what the end result is going to be all the time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like,
but yeah, it's hard because he is the new NBA, to be honest. Like he is that shooting point guard, runs the floor, transition. He's everything that we want, like in on our teams. Mm-hmm. We can't even shoot three balls, period.
He's our best, let alone he's the best shooter.
To let him go,
Raptors,
right?
He's the best. Yeah, he's the best 3-point shooter.
But at the same time, are we willing to spend $200 million for somebody who? I don't know how old he is, but in his 30s, and to know you only get knocked out in the first round. Can we still maintain this winning culture by letting, I don't know, Corey Joseph play at the guard and re-signing shooting big men? Because that's the culture too, right? Like having like 6'8", 6'9", power forward shooting threes.
Yeah,
like, you know, so, you know, do we want that? You know, do we trade Valanciunas and let Ibaka play the five and sign Millsap, like folks who could shoot, you know, like do we want to change it up like that? Because I don't see it. I don't see spending that kind of money for Lowry at this stage of the game just to be knocked out in the first round. But I definitely do see us spending money to maintain that winning culture. Because when you're winning, players might, you have a better chance of signing free agents.
Exactly.
Better chance of having players buy in to the culture, you know? So you got to maintain that winning culture. You have, that's the most important thing.
I agree. And you know what? I'm going to move on to the next question because I know the Raptors are going to be part of conversation over the next month. So I'll save the rest of the Raptors topic for another point in time. But, it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks, next few weeks for sure, especially to see what they do with Lowry. I think once we know what Lowry's going to do and what they're going to do, with at least with that, then we have a much better idea of what direction they're going to go in. See this part right here? This is the part where Danny Ainge screws up this segment of this podcast with that trade on Sunday. So blame him. It's not my fault. I just kept it in here because I enjoyed this part of the conversation. So let's ride with it. Again, blame Danny Ainge. Let's go back to the podcast. The director's cut. Mm-hmm. If the Celtics draft Fultz, shouldn't they go after Blake Griffin instead of Gordon Hayward?
Should it go after I hate to say this, but Horford was a bust. He's a bust. Mm-hmm. Because if you had asked me this last year, I'd be like, no, you got Horford. Why would you need to go after Griffin when you got Horford, who's playing the four and whatnot? But Horford looks so bad. Well, I wouldn't say he looks so bad. I take it back. But he didn't look like that max player type player to be paying that somebody that kind of money to be putting out what he did. So, you know what? If you're planning to sign Griffin and make him play the four and Horford at the five, because Boston has no size, right? They have no, right? They got Olenek, but these guys aren't like, you know, like starting players type, in my eyes at least.
Right.
You can do that, but they have a big hole at the small forward, right? Like, not big hole. You got Jay Crowder, but if you had Hayward, I think no, I would stick with Hayward because that's the game you want. And then Griffin is injury prone. Like that too. Like you want to invest in that. Like, you know, I don't know if I want to invest because now into somebody who's injury prone when they're about now, right? And Griffin is now, but he can go down. He can go down. So I wouldn't go for it. I would stick with Hayward. Why would you see them? What, like, do you see a better fit with Fultz and Griffin? Is that what you're seeing?
You know what? To me, I really like Gordon Hayward, to be honest with you, and. Like I was actually surprised he didn't make the All-NBA third team. Looking at that list, you know, I can't say that. You know, I don't know who I would necessarily knock off, to be honest with you. But, and I agree with you. I think taking a chance on Blake Griffin is definitely a risk because, you know, he's proven that he can't really stay healthy. But I feel like he presents more of a matchup problem for Cleveland than Gordon does, honestly. Just because I think the problem – well, Boston already has so much perimeter guys – You know what I mean? Like, they got Drake, yeah. got Jay Crowder, who's, you know, he's a really good, solid player. And they got that young stud, well, the guy they're trying to groom as in that position, too, was with Jaylen Brown, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you got him, too, that they're looking to, you know, to hopefully the next couple of years replace Crowder and be yeah. like a stud, you know, like a really good player, if not a superstar, of course. But
yeah,
but
he like can
I,
be.
Yeah, I mean, he could be. Again, the yeah. risk, the
you don't
risk,
know, right?
The, you know, you don't know. And the risk is, of course, is Griffin. If I had nothing to do with health, to me, it's not even, it's a no brainer. But I think yeah. to me, of course, that's the risk. But I honestly, because of the draft picks that Boston has. You know, you pick up Fultz next year. They got Brooklyn. They can swap with Brooklyn again next year, and take their pick. So it's going to be a lottery pick again next year. I don't know. Like if I'm really trying to take down Cleveland at least without sacrificing your future, I might take the chance on Blake before I take a chance on Gordon.
Really? And okay.
Just because I think with what he offers as a player, I think it's more problematic for somebody like Cleveland as, because I think if Gordon goes there, even if he draft Fultz, I think the same result's happening, to be honest with you. I don't think anything's changing. But I feel like there's at least, and I'm not saying that if Boston gets Griffin over Gordon Hayward, it's going to change the trajectory and they're going to beat Cleveland. I don't think that Cleveland's still winning. No. But I think they push Cleveland much further along. Again, it all depends on Blake's health. So it's tough. It's a tough decision to make, but it's a question I had to ask.
Yeah, you know, for me, again, Blake hasn't played a full season, and I don't know if he has. I'm sure he has maybe one or two, but rarely, like in the last 2 years, he hasn't played. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played in the playoffs. What I see giving Cleveland troubles is when LeBron has to cover somebody. Like, he had difficulty covering, not difficulty, but he was, Indiana gave them a tough battle. They got swept, but Indiana played well. Mm-hmm. And it was because of Paul George.
Right.
It's because of Paul George. And LeBron had to play both sides of the court. That seemed to be the biggest issue for Cleveland in the first two rounds. It was Paul George. And then I'm not saying Hayward is as good as Paul George. Oh, actually, he's not. But Hayward impressed me so much that he could make LeBron play on both sides of the floor and push them. He signed Griffin. Love is still a decent matchup with Griffin. Griffin has never proven anything. Not that Hayward has, but Griffin has never proven anything in the playoffs. He doesn't, to me, it doesn't have that leadership quality mentality. Mm. Kind of a knucklehead. You know, I don't know him, but from what I see, he's kind of a knucklehead. Not really that leader like Chris Paul is. And to me, those are those intangibles that you need to, you know, go far in the playoffs, and I don't think he has that in him. That's just me from the outside.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other part of it too is, this is of course basing this on the fact that you're gonna have IT for the long term. Do you sign him to a $200 million Kyle Lowry type?
You know my gripe about IT, man. I would like. I think he's one of the best. He is like top three again. Maybe top three, five, top five to be safe. I'll say that. Point guard in the NBA.
Definitely top 15 player.
I am not a fan of a 5'9" point guard, shooting, scoring point guard on my team and signing to a long-term contract going for it. Not a fan of that. Yeah, he scores and he's probably the best point guard in, maybe next to Kyrie in the East. Yeah. Right? So, yeah. But at that same time, am I going to give him – I'm not giving him a long-term – me personally – people, you know, argue with me, but I'm not giving him a long-term contract. No way. Especially if I have a first round pick and I can choose Fultz. No way. I would actually even look at what I can get for Thomas right now. I would try to trade him at this peak. Cause that's just me personally. I don't like them shorter guards, man. Like, who can't guard. I don't know how they got away with it, to be honest.
And the scary
thing, he scores so much. He scores. You can't stop him. He scores so much. You oversee. There's faults on defense.
Yeah, and I think the scary thing too is because you can't say he's not injury prone, but I mean, he's got that hip injury that he ended the playoffs with this year. And I mean, that's a pretty serious injury. So you know, the wear and tear on a smaller guard who attacks the paint the way that he does. It's like Iverson. Eventually, that starts to slow down.
100%, and that's my point. Like next year, he's still going to be who he is, I think, and maybe the year after, but. you know, 4 or 5 years from now. Is he going to be that player at that size, at that speed?
Yeah, because no, that's
going to be a bigger drop off. There's always drop offs for guys that height and that speed. Always.
And when he's like 33, 34 years old, do you want to pay that guy $40 million? It's a tough. No. I think that's as tough a question as the Raptors have with Lowry, I think. Maybe even more so because he's like their best player. He's put himself in a place with the Celtics and with the community where it's like you almost feel like you almost have to resign him. But I don't know if you do. I don't know. It's a tough call. I could see definitely keeping him, but I agree with your points. It's a tough call to commit to him for a long term deal. And then again, what if Fultz comes in next year and he's a stud?
Exactly.
Now you have to really look at this and be like, man, hey, maybe we just let you go. It's only costing you $7 million, right?
100%. You see what you can get or you let him go. But, like, again, I don't want to say Isaiah Thomas is a bad player. Like, honestly, he's going to be a stud for the next 2 years minimum, I think. And he's for real. There's nothing that he did this year that was fake. Or, you know, everything he played, like, he earned everything is my point. So I want to be clear on that. But am I going to make him my cornerstone franchise player and best long-term? No way. With all these draft picks, dude, to be honest, I don't think very few players will get long-term, especially after seeing what Horford did for me. Like, if I'm Boston, I signed somebody long-term free agency, and I signed him long-term in Horford, and this is what I get? Forget that. Nobody's getting it from me because I just got burned just now.
You're going to spite everybody else, basically, in terms of...
Yeah, you know, I was saying to somebody else, like, the free agents that were signed this offseason, nobody really panned out. I was just looking at like Gasol. Nobody really panned out. Yeah. I can't think of them at the top of my head, but very few of them panned out.
Well, except Durant. Signing.
Oh, yeah, I said that too. Yeah, I did mention that outside of Durant in my argument.
My bad,
very few signed out. Well, I never said that here, but yeah, very few panned out. But anyhow, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't give Isaiah long term, me personally.
Damn you, Danny Ainge. Damn you. And now moving into before I move to the next question, just have to point out, isn't it interesting that 2 years ago, the Clippers were fighting so hard to retain DeAndre Jordan and basically barricaded themselves? And remember, they barricaded themselves.
Yeah,
in the house?
Yeah, man. Now, how could you not forget that?
I know it was that whole crazy situation 2 years ago, and yet there's a strong possibility that at least CP3 or Blake could leave, if not both of them.
Can you believe that? That's why you can't. Like, you don't know what the future holds. You don't know what the future holds. Yeah, I remember it was both of them, right? CP3 and Blake, you know, trying to get DeAndre to sign, and they went to his house in Houston and all that. And then a year or so later, now look, they both might leave. So, right? Well, there's no loyalty.
No.
Everybody's thinking about themselves, right? And they want you back. Don't get me wrong, the franchise and the players want you back. But then at the same time, when it comes to their time to make that same choice, you know, I'm not saying that CP3 and Blake Griffin are not coming back either. They might re-sign with the Clippers, right? Who knows, right? But at the same time, they can easily leave and go San Antonio or go wherever. He's not going to OKC, Blake Griffin, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? So, yeah, that's just the NBA, man. And now with super teams, now they may want to join a super team or join a team with two other All-Stars.
Yeah. So,
and DeAndre is not even, like, I hate to say it, but DeAndre Jordan is not the future of the NBA.
No.
You know, like, he's that big man game, him, Dwight Howard. Yo, I don't know if there's going to be a place for them. Like, I don't even know if they're going to sign big-time contracts with those type of centers anymore.
And that's sad, though, because, you know what, as much as everybody's moving to this whole small ball era, I think the small ball era, honestly, Julian, works if you look at the – in the space of like Cleveland and Golden State. I think when you're playing small ball is one thing. You have to have special players to play that small ball.
You do.
And not everybody can do that. I know the league, much like almost every other professional league, it's a copycat league. So I think this is the new wave and everybody's trying to copycat this style, but not everybody has those players. I've been saying that for years. You can copy Golden State. Like, I remember last year, I remember Casey was saying, we're going to copy some of what Golden State does. And I'm like, oh, that's all fine and great. But you don't have Curry shooting threes from the stands as well as Klay Thompson and all that other stuff that's going along with it. Now Kevin Durant, like, you have to have those pieces in place. Just because you say you want a Ferrari doesn't mean you can afford a Ferrari or get a Ferrari. Right?
Exactly. No, I hear you. You got to find those players. And those are hard to come by. If you look at Golden State, it was like three or four different players bringing up the ball on every inbound. It wasn't like a point, like a traditional, like somebody, you know, running back to the baseline to pick up the ball, to bring up the ball, the point guard. It was Draymond, it was KD, it was Curry. You know, they were all bringing the ball. Cleveland, like, if you look at it, it wasn't really Kyrie bringing the ball. LeBron were bringing it up. Kyrie, all time, JR, somebody else. That's where the game is now. Everybody can put the ball on the floor. Everybody can run up the court. Everybody can, you know, come off a screen and do a fade jumper. That's just the way it is. So I'm not saying everybody can bring up the ball, right? Yeah, you're right. You can't. It's hard to find those players. Everybody can shoot. No, it's hard. But that's what players are doing in the offseason now. Everybody's trying to put the ball on the floor. And these young kids are coming in the game. You know, that's why you got to keep these draft picks. You see what Anthony Towns is like doing with the ball these days. I saw the clip the other day. This guy's doing crossover dribble drive, blah, blah, blah. He's like 6'10".
Plus he posts us up too, though. Seven
Yeah,
feet. Seven
but he
feet, actually, Julius.
does it
Seven
all.
feet. Seven feet.
Multi-talented. That's what these big men are doing. Multi-talented guys back in the day. They weren't doing that, like the Howards and whatnot. They weren't putting the ball on the floor. You put the ball on the floor, the coach was screaming at you. Give it up.
But you got you
Give it
got
up.
but
Hold it
you
up high. Keep it up. They tell you keep it up. Keep it up
but
high above your head.
but I, but it's funny, but I do think that there's got to be, I don't know which team will do it, whether it's a younger team coming up or I don't know who it would be. Probably most likely a younger team coming up. But I think the way you kind of break the super team small ball, especially the small ball side of it, is you got to have a big man like a Karl-Anthony Towns that could stretch the floor but can also dominate inside. I think that's where I think
Agreed.
If you can surround
Agreed.
guys, if you can surround guys around that kind of talent, I think that's where you kind of break that up.
Yeah, because it's mismatches, and that's how that's KD, right? That's LeBron.
That's
Those guys
LeBron.
are 6'9", big men that can pose, who can guard multiplayers, shoot outside, do it all. And usually, guys that are 6'9", like Dwight Howard, might be 6'9". I hate picking on him, but like those guys that are 6'9", that same height as these guys, but they don't have that same athleticism, versatility, lateral quickness, and they can't guard those guys, but they're the same height. So it's not about height, it's about,
But then on
you
top
know,
of that,
what
can
your
also,
abilities can do, what you can do.
but on top of that, also playing inside, and it's funny because I don't trust the management in this franchise. But if New Orleans could put it together properly, I mean that's another one too. But again,
It'd
that's a
be
whole
interesting,
other yeah,
yeah.
that's a whole other thing if you could control Cousins and if he stays and because he's a free agent next year too. So
Yeah,
all that's a part
that.
factor of it, but I think it's funny. Like out of the lottery teams that I think can make some noise next year, I think Minnesota and I think the Pelicans, depending on who they sign and what they do to surround those guys, I think they can obviously hop not to a contender, of course, but just to make the playoffs. I think they could be something.
Only reason why I hesitate is because of Cousins. It's the only
Well,
reason
of
why I
course,
hesitate.
of course, of course.
Yeah. And then they might lose Jrue Holiday. And he, you know, like they had a pretty good big three themselves, right? Although, you know, they had no chemistry and, you know, it was like
Well,
towards the end of the second half of
and
the
not a
year.
lot of time, yeah, because I mean, they
Yeah,
only play in
exactly.
a
So I'm
certain
not
amount of
gonna like,
games.
yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, grade them too tough, but I thought they would do a lot better, but like towards the second half of the year. But we'll see this year. We'll see who they sign, as you say, and how the two big men can play in the small ball era. Like because those big men can actually play both in and outside to what you just said. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. Because they got to match up, they got to defend and match up against the other side too. Two six, yeah. So.
And that's it, right? If you have two dominating or at least a dominating big man, whether it's a center or a power forward that can basically attack inside and also stretch the floor, he's able to go on the wing and defend a little bit. Like I said, that's where it kind of breaks up the small area ball a little bit. But it's easier said than done, of course. Those guys
Exactly.
aren't growing on trees. They
That's
that's
why you got
what
to
I'm
keep
saying.
your draft picks. You got to keep your, because these kids nowadays can or have the potential or have the ability to do it, because they're doing it all. They're dribbling and they're shooting threes. And I'm talking to big kids, like the 6'9" guys and 6'8", 10".
But that's what I mean. It's gonna be a little while. So here's my final question. Does anyone have a chance of beating Golden State next year?
No. That's an easy last question. No, not a chance. To be honest, they might even go 72, and like they might even, because don't forget, KD didn't play the whole year this year
I
too, right?
know, I know.
You know, and if they, I don't know, did they have anybody free? I think Iguodala just re-signed today for 1 year, 12 mil. But like, I don't know, like, I don't think, Oh, Curry has to resign. He's going to get his money.
Of course.
And they have to go. They have to pay the tax. They're going. They have to go over. So it seems like everybody's coming back.
Yeah, of course they. So. And from the rumors that, as you have it, KD is basically stating that he would probably take a little less just to keep everybody together. I don't know if Curry should, because I mean, you know, he's been underpaid for the last like 4 years. He's had the best contract in sports.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know if he takes a little off that $200 million. Maybe like $10 million max, but I mean, maybe max.
He needs the full max.
Yeah, he needs his money. I mean, he's been
underpaid.
Two MVPs, and you basically change the style of the league. Nah, you need your money.
Yeah, and KD can get his money elsewhere, like meaning like endorsements and all that. To be honest with you, like he leaving OKC to go to San, because they're moving to San Fran too. Like in a couple years. That's a big market. His agent can kill that. They get endorsements with love. Like Nike, he's in a bigger market. He'll get more. He's fine. Like, if he wants to take a pay cut and to guarantee to win, like, 5 more rings, I would do that.
Yeah.
Because his pay cut is still, he's still making, you know, close crazy to 200. Money. I don't know, whatever.
And you mentioned San Francisco, Silicon Valley tech sector.
These guys are making more money. He'd be on the Forbes top 20, 10 list athletes, same way by taking a pay cut. Because his endorsements will go up. You win 4 rings or 3 straight rings, you're gonna get the endorsements. So
let's make a bet then. Not a bet, but let's make a prediction then. How much games do you think Golden State is gonna win next year? Because I'm thinking honestly, Julian, I think they can. It sounds crazy to say, but if they choose to go for it now, I think they're definitely getting over 70. Without even trying. I think if they choose to go for it, I think they can get to 75.
Listen, they almost went undefeated in the playoffs. Playoff teams.
Yeah.
And they beat Cleveland in 4-1.
Yeah.
LeBron, who just walked over the Raptors and everybody else, who DeRozan was, players were complaining he's too good. Golden State walked over them. They're going to steamroll. I'm going to guess, like, if everybody's healthy, right, and everybody is back next year, 72 wins minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum. I can't see them losing. The only way I see them losing is like they're on a road trip and like the last game of a road trip and they play down to their team. Because they can't lose. They can't. I don't see it. I don't know. I think the last loss before that Cleveland game was like in April. And I think KD was out. So, and now that they have more sync and unity and like, you know,
togetherness, they're still they're all entering in their prime right now.
Yeah, coming off a championship, training together in the off season.
I think, like I said, I know you're saying 72 is minimum. I think minimum 70 for sure. And like I said, I can honestly see them, without laughing, I can see them hitting 75. It's like saying like Usain Bolt can break 19 seconds on the 200 meter run, but that like at this stage they put themselves at a point where it's like that's absolutely a possibility now. They won 67 games, and how much games did Durant miss? Like 20?
Yeah, something like that. I don't even know. Yeah, like he missed quite a few, a lot, actually.
And they went on a 13-game winning streak without him.
Even if they rest players, like what they're doing nowadays, even if they rest players, they're still winning.
Yeah.
It depends on who they – if they rested in the entire starting lineup, then, okay, sure enough. But if they rest Durant one night, Draymond the next night, they're still winning. They're going to be every team in the East, that's for sure. They're not losing to a team in the East. The only team they might lose to, well, they might lose to Cleveland in the regular season, but they might lose to San Antonio. I don't know who else.
Maybe Houston in the shootout, you know.
Maybe. I thought Houston overachieved this year. Personally, I thought Houston overachieved. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be the same team next year, but no, they might lose to Houston, because there's not many. Who else are you choosing? And again, it depends on where these free agents go, right? Right now in the offseason. So.
Yeah. No, a lot of things to cover the next few weeks or so for sure. Anyways, on that note, brother, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah. Appreciate it. You know, I like to talk my sports, politics, and money. Mm-hmm. That's me. Anytime. Appreciate it.
Not for sure. Like I said, but yeah, we definitely got to – I know we'll definitely be catching up on some of the off-season stuff. Most likely I'm going to do like last year and do like an off-season recap like sometime in July or some point. So, you know,
And I would love for you to bring up your predictions of the West and Eastern Conference. Oh man, that was jokes. Like the teams you had making playoffs, Utah not making it. Oh yeah, you should go back to that and then talk about the off season and future.
Well, first of all, screw you. I actually had Utah making the playoffs. I just didn't have
Did you
them. I
have
just
Utah? You had somebody, Dallas. No, it was Dallas making it.
I had
It was
Dallas making it.
Dallas. Dallas.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, you can't be perfect, man. You can't be perfect.
You can't. You can't, definitely. But
Anyways, that's my
yeah.
time, Julian. That's my t
Yeah, man, appreciate you having me on, and we can talk ball another time.
right, sir, no doubt. Thank you once again for listening to the AF Podcast. And a special shout out goes out to my guest, Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, for sharing his thoughts on these topics today. I know it was hard for him as a Raptor lifer to state that they have no shot at competing in this super team era. I'm proud of you for being that strong and that brave. Not everybody can be that realistic as a fan, man. In Masai we trust, though, so let's see what he has planned up his sleeve. Let's hope he hops into the DeLorean and scoops up the 2000-2001 versions of Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter. Either way, if you see Doc in any of the photos with them in the next 10 days or so, all bets are off. Look at what you did, Cleveland and Golden State. Look at what you did. We have to create crazy hypotheticals to make teams better now. Anyways, stay tuned. This is going to be a very interesting offseason in about 2 weeks, to say the least. As usual, to listen to more podcast shows, make sure you subscribe right here to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. A couple of housekeeping podcast notes. Make sure you look out for Season 2 of The Stoop, set to begin within the first 2 weeks of July, as well as the Boomerang podcast set to drop the 4th of July week based on the 25th anniversary of the classic movie. Yeah, that one should be fun for sure. Make sure you look out for both of those podcasts. For Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, this is Kyle C., and this is the AF Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next pod, folks. Peace.